Good morning. I'm recording this message this morning on the early morning of Saturday, March 21st, 2020. And we're at a time where we're unable to meet together as a church family because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And this message this morning is intended to be for our Calvary church family. I know that there may be others that listen into this as I'm going to post the message on sermon audio and on our website so that it will be available to our church family. But I just want to say in the beginning that the intent of this message, the audience of this message, is our Calvary church family. And right now we're in a time where we're unable to meet together. And many of us are longing to be able to be back at the house of God. And I have been prayerful about our approach to this pandemic and how that we should respond. And I've been prayerful about a message that I would send to our church family. And it's with that heart that I'm recording this today. And it's a beautiful day that God has given us, a crisp spring morning. Thankful to God for his blessings and for the health that we do have. And this morning we're prayerful for our country. More than that, we're prayerful for the entire world. And I've been praying this morning for our church that we would be strong through this, that we could be a light to this world, that God would help us to get past our fears and anxieties and to put our trust in him. To remind our people that God is in control and that he is not surprised by any of this, even though we're surprised by it. We know that he is not surprised and that he is in control and our trust is in him. I want to remind our church family to pray for the Shade family. We have lost a dear sister, but it's heaven's gain. And the Shade family right now is grieving. They would like to be able to have a funeral service, but because of the current situation that we're in, they're going to have a private graveside service and then a funeral service after we have some of our restrictions lifted on gatherings. Also, would like for our church to remember to pray for the Childs family. Stacy's surgery went well on Friday, according to a report I received from Mark. But let's continue to pray for them. And I believe Stacy sees the oncologist on Tuesday. So let's just remember her and them in our prayers. I do have a few things on my heart this morning that I want to share with you all in a scripture reading. There's been lots of different approaches by churches across the land about how to respond to the fact that many of us can't get together. Some are continuing to meet. Others are meeting online. I feel like it is responsible for us not to meet when our local authorities have warned us about the spread of this virus. I think we're doing the right thing. I feel like that even though we have our faith and our confidence in God, it's up to us to be wise and to be good citizens. And it's our hope that this virus doesn't spread like it could, and the efforts that we're taking to separate ourselves for a little while will pay dividends in the long run. But I guess I just wanted to say I think that we're doing the right thing by separating for a while, and even though there's a longing in our heart to be together. And this morning, I just felt like I should share a message with you as we approach Sunday, a Sunday where we won't be together, that we could make this Sunday to be a time of prayer, a time that we would all come together in spirit, even though we can't come together in the flesh. I'm going to read a scripture this morning found in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews and the 21st verse. It says this, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I want us to consider that last verse today, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Also, I'm going to read from the 137th Psalm. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." And I'd like to say a prayer for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning thankful for another day of life that you've given us. We lift up our country in our prayers to you today, and we pray that you would heal our land. I ask, dear God, that you'd be with our families, that you'd keep us safe and healthy, that you'd be with our church, that we could be what we should be in this darkened world. Father, I just pray that you would help us today to remember you. To remember you and the blessings that you provided for us, and that we would not get so distracted, that we would not continue to look upward, to have a heavenly vision, and to remember that even though we go through a life now with sorrow and pain, that you have a better thing prepared for all of us, the half of which has not been told. We pray this morning that you would be with the Shade family. We ask, dear God, that you'd wrap your loving arms around them. We ask, dear God, that you would help them, Lord, as they grieve. And we know that Twyla now is rejoicing in heaven with you and is in a place we long to go someday. And so we just pray for the family, though, because it's a loss for us. And I pray, dear God, for your Holy Spirit to be with them. And we pray for the child's family this morning. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd be with them, that you'd provide your healing and comforting hand to their home. And with all of our families of our church, Lord, we're so thankful for them. We long to be with them again, and being separated for a time makes us all the more desire that we could be together with them in worship, to shake their hand, to hug their neck, to pray with them. What a blessing it is to be a part of the Lord's church. And we just pray, dear God, that we would not take it for granted, but that we would take this time where we're forced to be separated from each other, to pray for one another, and to just long for the day that we could enter back into the house of God together as a congregation. Bless our families, especially be with those among us that are not saved. I pray, dear God, they would this day take the time to seek you and find you before it's everlasting too late. And I pray these things in Jesus' name and amen. This morning, our reading told us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I've had this verse upon my heart because for a time, our church and other churches have been forced to not assemble together. And there are some that feel like that if we do not meet Sunday, that we're disobeying that command. But you see in the reading in the 137th Psalm that there was a time where God's people were in captivity and they were separated from Jerusalem and they longed for it again. And there are times that God's people are forced to not be able to meet together for one reason or another. Those times are rare and they should be taken on a case-by-case basis to determine, is this the right thing? And I feel like that right now it is the right thing, at least for a time, hopefully a short time. It's our desire that this would not be very long, that we would be back together in a few weeks, a couple of weeks, I'm not sure. The approach that we've taken as a church is that we're going to look at it week by week to look at our current situation and decide what's the right approach at this time. Asking God to be our leader, asking the Holy Spirit to give us direction and wisdom. And I feel confident that He'll do that. But this morning, my thought would be just the importance of the assembly and really the inability for us to replace it with anything else. And that I don't think we should try to replace it with anything else. There is no place like Jerusalem. As the psalm indicated, if I do not count Jerusalem as my chief joy, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I don't remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem as my chief joy. And so the psalmist never indicated that they would try to replace Jerusalem, but they would long for it. And I think that's the same thing when it comes to the assembly of the church together as a body. We should not try to replicate it. I think that the efforts that churches are making to go online is a noble one. I appreciate their efforts. I enjoy listening to sermons online. I'm even sending this message out via a recording. And so I think there are benefits to that. But let us make no mistake, it's not the same as the church coming together. There's a shared experience. There's a shared encouragement. There's a shared feeling. There's a shared love that comes with God's people coming together. And you can't get it by laying out of church or by, listening to an online sermon. It's not the same. Now, there might be things we do in this time that is rare and is not like normal times to supplement our private times, but yet we should always remember that the assembly is what we've been commanded to do, and that when we're able to do it again, we ought to reverence that ability for us to get together and worship God and be thankful for it. And so this command that was given to us for a short time is put on pause. But yet, while we're doing that, I want to encourage our church to family devotion. And even though we're not able to come together as multiple families and as a congregation, most of us are able, many of us at least, are able to have time with our families. And I want to encourage our church to take advantage of this on Sunday, to take time around the normal time of worship to gather together with our family. And maybe practice something that we've not been consistent at doing because we've maybe used the church as our time of worship. May we use our homes as a place of worship. I want to encourage our people to sing a hymn together. Get a hymn book out or one that you know without having to have a book and sing it together in praise to God. Lift Him up in your home. Pray a prayer together. Maybe join hands. Make sure you wash them. But join hands together and bow your heads and pray together. And pray for our country and pray for our church and pray for our families. And may we be strengthened during this time rather than weakened through prayer. and read the scriptures together. Get your Bible out. Have everyone get their Bible out. Have everyone read the Bible. Take some time to get God's word into our minds and our heart. And I think we can use this time as families that are separated from the assembly and still have that connectedness to each other. It's as close as we can get to the assembly right now. And that, I believe, is a good supplement, not to replace, not to say that our family devotions replace the assembling of ourselves together, but it can still serve as an opportunity for us to provoke one another unto love and to good works while we long for the assembly that will be surely to come before very long. Find ways to be relational. We're all talking about isolation right now, and we have to for our country's safety, but yet let's not miss out on opportunities to be relational, to share a conversation, to share a prayer, to share a burden. We need that. I also would encourage us to listen to a sermon together. Maybe you'll miss that Sunday, and I had on my heart to share that one that we could maybe all listen to is one that was preached last fall. And actually, last fall, we had several sermons in a row that I have put in our website in a category that's called An Attitude of Gratitude. And it was preached around Thanksgiving last year. The first sermon in that group is called Living in the Present. And I'll be honest, I didn't take time to listen to it again. I cringed to listen to myself. But I remember how I felt when I preached it, and I felt like it would be an appropriate sermon even for this time today. So I'm going to send a link to it in the email that I send out to the church this morning. And if you want to, if you don't feel like that's something you want to do, I don't want to force that upon you. But if you want to sit and listen as a family to a sermon together and discuss something, if you want something to be used for your devotional together, I would encourage you to listen to Living in the Present. It's a sermon from 2 Corinthians 6:2 and Matthew 6:34. And as we do this from time to time, I'll send out messages and update everyone on where we're at in terms of being able to meet together. But until then, if you need me, I'm here. You've got my phone number. You've got my email. Reach out to me if you need something. I want to be able to be a servant to you and to help you. But more importantly than that, God's ear is always open. Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He makes intercession for his saints. He'll hear you, and he'll give you the comfort that you need. I'm going to go ahead and close this morning praying for Calvary Church, praying for your family, praying God bless you and continue to bless you until we meet again. And amen.